Rivalry is back at least for one big night, probably for two big nights with the Lakers here next Wednesday. So you got the Kings and you got the Lakers, meaningful games. And we got Kyle Draper standing by in L.A. We'll get to Kyle as soon as we can. He's in enemy territory tonight.
You don't have me right now?
Oh, there we are. Okay, I didn't see you. I didn't
like
see you.
I'm some random guest or something like that. Yeah, we'll put Drapes on the back burner.
There you are.
When he's in the show, then we'll get... Nah, big fella. You start the show off with Drapes, Whitey. You know that.
I didn't see you there.
All right.
I'm sorry. Here he is. Kyle Draper. Go get him.
I'm fired up, man. I wasn't part of the show yesterday. Was waiting around for Jay to text me or hit me up. He never hit your boy up. I was like, all right, I see how they are. So I'm going to get all my takes off today, man.
Hold on real quick. Let me respond to that. This is your show. You ain't got to wait for me. You pick the phone up and call and fire off when you want to.
Wow.
I thought you was down in L.A. trying to, reconcile with your wallet. So we just want to make sure everything was good.
You know it's crazy, man. And I hate to start the show off because it makes me look bad. But I hop off the plane. We get on the bus. We're driving to the hotel. And I'm like, dang, I left my iPad on the airplane. And so I'm like, oh, so I talked to Mel, our travel coordinator. She's like, well, you're going to have to go back out there and get it. And so we didn't get to the hotel till like 4:30. I'm panicking. I'm upset. I'm like, this trip to L.A. is off to a horrible start. And so I was in no mood mentally to come on the show. I needed a mental health break because I was struggling yesterday.
Then why'd you throw Jay under the bus?
That's what I do, man. What do you call it? That's the Drapes way.
What's up with you forgetting things right now, bro?
In L.A.
I was telling somebody earlier, man, my life is like a real Lifetime movie. I don't know if y'all ever watched them Lifetime. I mean, I'm a soap opera right now, man.
Uh-huh.
I got drama, intrigue, anger, deception. I got everything going on right now. And so my mind is not where it needs to be, but it will be for this show and the game tonight.
Well, you can guess what Jay and I talked about yesterday for 4 hours. We had a ton of calls, a lot of questions about the Kings, and a lot of comments and questions about Mike Brown, which I'm sure we'll circle back to. But, you know, it's like Domas said after that Bulls game, it's like you don't even have time to think about it because you got to get ready for the next one. And so huge opportunity before the Kings again tonight against the hated Lakers.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the NBA, right? I mean, and we should notice, Sacramento Kings fans, we've been on this roller coaster all season long. I mean, how many times have people given up on this team? How many times have people thrown in the towel only for them to come out and beat the Nuggets and beat the Clippers and beat OKC and beat the Lakers? And so it's another chance to right the ship, if you will. And so, you know, I'm talking to people within the organization, and they're a little shocked at, you know, just the Jekyll and Hyde nature of this franchise, you know. And mm-hmm. I said to somebody earlier today, it would not surprise me if the Kings came out, played inspired ball, and got the win tonight against the Lakers.
I have to point this out. You know, at the game Monday, no one cares, but I had some things I had to do, so I left the arena at halftime. So I saw the end of the game at home, and so I had a chance to see you and Mike Bibby after the game. And I mean, I fell for you. I know we've talked about this and you've said, I'm not getting on that roller coaster. I'm not, but you were on it, weren't you? Because after the game, you were, I feel so bad for these fans. You were feeling it once again.
Yeah, because we've been through it so many times. And the thing that frustrated me the most about Monday night's loss is that we did it at home. How many times have we had great wins on the road? The fan base is fired up. They're excited. They welcome the squad back home. It felt like a party in that game. Third quarter, everybody's high-fiving. The beers are flowing. The game was an afterthought. We thought we had that in hand. And then the collapse again in front of the home crowd. We've seen it before. We saw it against Detroit at home. We saw it against Miami at home. And then to do it again this time around. And so that's where my frustration is. It's not about the standings, you know. The standings are going to be the standings, you know. But to come back home and give it away in front of your home crowd, and what I said on the postgame show is that these fans deserve better, meaning they deserve to see the beam in person lit up at Golden 1 Center, roll out of there and celebrate instead of leave time and time again with heartbreak. That's what I was upset about.
Sure, sure. That's what we're all upset about.
Yeah.
We were talking yesterday about the fact that the loss, you just mentioned a couple of them. The Charlotte loss at home, the Indiana loss at home, the Detroit loss at home, the Miami loss, and then the Bulls loss, all home games. Not making excuses, because some of those are like, you can't do that. But they were all home games right after a road game. Some of them were longer trips. Some, like the loss of the Heat, was just a one-game trip. But I know I saw the G-Man on Facebook was saying that this, tonight's game for you guys and for the team, is the 10th straight game with travel. Then you got to come home. You got another game tomorrow with travel. My point is this. They've got all those home games coming up. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, they don't really defend the home floor. But my hope is that just being home for an extended period, in addition to playing at home, but just being home and not traveling, maybe they'll start playing better at home as a result of just being in one spot for a while.
Yeah, you would hope so. You're right. 10 out of 11 games are with travel. The 11th one will be tomorrow against San Antonio. And when you look at 19 of their last 26 have been on the road as well. And so I give them a tiny bit of grace because of that.
Because they
do have a lot of home games coming up. But, man, it's, you know, you got to take – if you're a contender, if you're really being about that life, about that business, home court, you got to take care of. Like, those are the ones you got to win. And so, you know, we'll see tomorrow, obviously, against San Antonio. And then you got, I forget who's, Houston. You owe them something coming up on Sunday. But, man, leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And, you know, I could imagine, and it's not just losing to Chicago, Whitey, it's how you lost. You know, that fourth quarter may have been the worst quarter of basketball all season long for Sacramento. I mean, they were turning the ball over. They looked shook out there. They
couldn't inbound
scared.
The ball, Kyle. They could not inbound the ball.
The basics, you know, you call a timeout, you get the inbounds play set up, and you can't even execute that. And so that's what's so frustrating about a lot of these losses. And give Chicago credit. Kobe White played a hell of a game. DeMar DeRozan is the man. I'm a huge DeMar.
I owe
20 points. But a lot of these games, it feels like the Kings are just handing it, giving it away. And that's what I said on the post-game show. It's like all your goals are still there. They're still attainable. But you're letting it slip away game after game, which is frustrating.
What happened as far as all the turnovers? I mean, trying to be a little analytical. Emotionally, you know, we're all distraught over that. But trying to understand what happened. You know this team as well as anybody. How did things fall apart in the fourth quarter to the point where they went from, wow, they're having a party offensively, to just turning the ball over play after play?
Yeah, and I think the thing that concerns me the most about it, Whitey, when we talk about what happened. And I watched the Celtics last night against Cleveland. Hmm. They had a big collapse, too.
Dean Wade, baby.
Yeah. Dean Wade looked like D-Wade, right? Yeah. He looked like Dwayne Wade out there. And it happens in the NBA. But the problem is it seems to happen more times to us than anybody else. We've had two games. I got the notes right here. Let me pull it up real quick. This is part of my prep for tonight's game. We were up 22 in the third quarter. It's their second loss this season when leading by 20 or more points. In fact, of this 15 games this season involving a 22-point blown lead or larger, the Kings have been involved in four of them. They've come back to 1-2, but they've lost, like Phoenix. I'm going to throw Milwaukee in there, too, because we blew that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it seems to happen more to us than to other teams, and that's what's concerning. What's the problem? Last year, this team was one of the best clutch teams in the NBA. Like, close games, we knew they could deliver. Now, it just – I don't know, man. I don't know if it's they're getting tight, their booty's getting tight out there or what. But it was abysmal watching that the other night.
Last year, the Kings were the darlings of the NBA, and there's a lot of people this time of year last year, who are looking at the Kings going, whoa, keep an eye on that team. Right now, we got Jamal Crawford, his team in the West, that he says – oh, they're built for the playoffs. They're on the right path. Jamal Crawford says, Phoenix. You got Shaq. Shaq says there's one team in the West that they cannot lose a seven-game series. He says, Denver. You got your boy Big Perk, Kendrick Perkins. When I saw Big Perk sleeper team in the West, I thought, okay, here we go. His sleeper team in the West is New Orleans. So everybody's overlooking the Kings, which is fine. They have that opportunity tonight, though, to set this thing right. This is a huge game, not only in terms of how they feel about things and themselves and the rest of the season, but standing-wise.
Yeah, and you know, but that's how it is the rest of the way, right? Every game
yes, sir.
Matters, but you're right about this. This game is almost worth two games in mm-hmm. the standing, because not only would you give yourself a win, you could give the Lakers a loss. And when you look at it.
And the tiebreaker comes
And the tiebreaker
too.
As well. You're up on them right now, and you could win this third game and own it, you know. And I'm looking at the standings right now. The Lakers are a game and a half behind you. Think about this, Whitey. You lose this game, the Lakers are just a half game behind you. Then the screws really get tight, right?
Right.
So a half game versus 2.5 is a major difference in these NBA standings. And so this is a playoff type atmosphere. It should be a playoff type level. You know, I'm watching ESPN earlier today. I think it was Zach Lowe.
Be careful, because I'll make you angry.
I know it does. And you know, fortunately Stephen A. wasn't on today, so my blood pressure did get up. But they talked about the Miami Heat and the way Miami's playing basketball right now. They've won 8 out of their last 10. Miami has shifted into playoff mode mentally. Like, playoff Jimmy is coming back. You know, they're locking in right now. I want to see our guys lock in. I don't have the proof that we've locked into playoff mode yet. And really, it should be. Like, right now, it should be. We're 5-5 over our last 10 games. Like, we need to be locked in. The playoffs, for all intents and purposes, have begun for the Sacramento Kings squad.
Yeah, it's almost like a teeter-totter. And the Kings are, you know, when they beat Minnesota, it's like, all right, they're getting ready for the playoffs. Then you have the loss to Chicago that starts tipping the other way. So are they playing their best basketball down the stretch when they need to or not? Let's find out tonight. We got Drapes Takes coming up also. I'm hoping, Drapes, you got some kind of update for us from L.A. on LeBron for tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll have something for you.
All right. We're right back with that. Kyle Draper in enemy territory today. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sport. Drive Guys with you. Kyle Draper in Los Angeles. What do you guys think of this? I don't know. I didn't know if this shirt was appropriate for today or not, so I have it underneath here. It's the 2002 Western Conference Finals T-shirt. On the one end, I thought, yeah, let's go, Lakers. Then, you know, you remember how that went.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure. So I got it covered, but because I wasn't sure if it was appropriate for today or not. What do you think?
That's a good question. I don't know if it is or not. Yeah. Like, we talk about that year, and that brings up pain. And, you know, it gets us fired up, though, I tell you that.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, it's a reminder that this is a rivalry. Like,
right.
We need revenge against these
unfinished
guys.
Unfinished business,
right?
Kyle.
Exactly. Till infinity, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't care if it's 50 years from now, you should wear that, you know? And so people be like, yeah, we hate the Lakers. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
And so I'm cool with the shirt. Right?
All right.
Right. It's cool. You may have to pull it out, big fella, like the Superman or something.
Yeah. How about you, Jay?
I kind of follow the same thing that Drapes is saying. I will say this. Let me spin it back to you. How in the heck do you still even have that T-shirt?
That's
when
true.
You got Drapes losing iPads and you know,
he got T-shirt. You got a T-shirt.
Well, you know, I think part of it is after that happened, it wasn't one that I wanted to wear a lot. You know, after what went down, I was like, oh, I still have that. I thought I threw that away.
Where was it? If you don't mind me asking.
Bottom of a drawer somewhere.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. That's all.
Drapes, would you still have a T from? Do you still have any T's from 2002?
Nah, and I've hung on to a lot of tees. Like, I've got a lot of old T-shirts, maybe 2010, maybe 2000, but they don't even fit anymore. First of all, like, I'm about 20 or 30 pounds heavier than I was. Like, 2002, 22 years ago, I was 26 years old, bro. I was in the prime condition of my life. My T-shirts back then can't fit now.
Yeah.
Still throwing alley-oops?
No, I was completing the alley. I was throwing down the alley-oops, big fella. I wasn't complete, you know, passing the alley-oops. I was throwing them down. So,
Jay, as much softball as you played, you must have, like, 50
too many
like league champions.
I just give them away.
T-shirts.
Yeah. You know, I do this, fellas. I try to do this quite often. And sometimes, and Drapes, you probably could attest to this. You and no disrespect, Whitey. I'm not sure if you know, deep into tennis shoes and clothes and all that. Stylish, so to say.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes I just, it's too much. And I'll be trying to be a little more minimalistic. And so I'll put them together in a bag and I just take them straight out and, you know, like, hey, here you go. We got
donate
too many
them?
Shirts, man. Yeah,
that's
too
nice.
Many shirts, man.
That's nice.
Too many shirts. Like
too
Drapes
many
is,
shirts.
Yeah, like Drapes has got to have all the suits and all that type of stuff, right?
Man, I tell you what.
Plus he's donating iPads and wallets.
Like that's the problem with packing. Like, seriously, think about this, guys. You got the suit. You got to head
it
out to the spots afterwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The jeans and the tennis shoes. Then you got the sleep, you know, shorts and T-shirts. Man, it's hard packing. And so I have a lot of T-shirts, none from 2002, though.
All right. Okay. Hey, do you have any update for us on LeBron and his likelihood to play tonight?
No, I think LeBron's going to go. I mean, this is a massive game. This is a, you know, it's not like it's a second night of a back-to-back.
Is he sandbagging his stripes?
A little bit.
Yeah.
See, but when you get 39 years old, aren't you questionable every day? Like, I don't know. I wake up questionable just to do this damn show sometimes, you know? And, like, I'm not LeBron James trying to go out there and play 35, 40 minutes. And
uh-huh.
So this ankle thing has been bothering him since the All-Star break. He has missed some time after the All-Star break with this, but I think he's going to give it a go.
All right. Drape's going to give it a go now because it's time for... Drapes takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
You know, fellas, Drapes Take is my vehicle. It's my forum. It's my chance to get some things off my chest. I got about 20 Drapes Takes, but I only can do 3 today. Let's go back to what we saw the other night against the Chicago Bulls. Mike Brown is my guy. Just celebrated his 54th birthday yesterday. Mike Brown, one of the best coaches the Kings have had. But, man, the end of the third quarter, the lineup, the inability to stop the run. He had a stretch out there where it was all bench players. And I get Domas was in foul trouble. I get De'Aaron Fox has to get a break. But, man. We saw that momentum change just like that in the third. And Mike talked about it. He said if he had it to do it over again, maybe he brings Fox back early. And so I was just frustrated that stretch right there. And friends have told me, oh, Drapes, man, what was Mike thinking? And I'm like, trust the coach, trust the coach. Then I went back and looked at it, and I'm like, that little stretch, that three-minute stretch to end the third quarter gave Chicago life. It went from 22 to 14, and 14 in the NBA, that's 4 possessions. I mean, you can get that. And so, you know, I don't think, you know, and Mike talked about it. If he had to do it over again, you bring De'Aaron back early. You know, extend De'Aaron early so that he can rest the final 7 minutes of the game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you build that lead from 22 to 26, 28, and then you got celebratory time in the fourth. And so I was disappointed in that stretch there in the third quarter.
Yeah, I would just say real quick here, because I know it's your vehicle. But, you know, anytime a team loses a game like that, it's fair to question
right.
and look at the coaching.
Right.
And when the coach himself says, I would do that differently than absolutely what you just said, it's absolutely fair criticism. In fact, needed to be said. So thank you.
Yes, exactly. My second Drapes take is this. What are we going to do about the defense, Whitey?
I haven't seen any.
It's regressing. I don't know if it was Brendan or Frankie. Somebody tweeted. Yeah,
was it Brendan
that tweeted out since the All-Star break?
Yeah.
That we're 29th in defensive rating. Like, we're sliding backwards. And the problem with the Kings' defense is this, and we've seen it time and time again. When guys get going, we can't stop it. We don't have anybody that could turn off DeMar DeRozan. We don't have anybody that could turn off Kobe White. Like, how do you slow these guys down? Maybe it's, and I heard you and Jay talking a little bit about it. Maybe it's take a foul or something like that late. Send a message. Like, something needs to be done defensively because I'm tired of seeing guys go off, have career nights against us. Dwop Reith. I keep bringing that, you know, Kobe White now.
I know.
It seems like every time we play somebody and lose, some rant. Grayson Allen in against Phoenix when they came all the way back, he lit us up for like 28 points. We got to take some pride. And you know what? If a guy hits two or three shots in a row, who's the guy on that our team that says, hey, I got him. Don't worry about it, coach. I got him. I'm going to lock it down. We don't have that right now.
Right. Don't you think a lot of it, Kyle, is we saw this with the Heat, and they went right after a particular guy or two. Teams now, they've scouted the Kings so well. They know exactly where to attack. And I will say this in defense of Mike Brown, and yeah, he's the coach. He's got to figure something out. But, you know, when he says, you know, people say, you got to double this guy, double that guy, and he points out, we can't double like two or three guys. We don't have enough players. So that's a big part of the problem too. You're getting, there's mismatches all over the floor and you don't have enough defenders to double everybody who's beating right. you. And that's a big part of the problem right now.
And you know Whitey as well as I do. You've coached basketball. We all watch basketball. Jay, when a guy is cooking like that, they anticipate, oh, eventually they're going to start doubling. And so then they start welcoming the double. Like drawing you out, bringing the double up high, they make the quick pass over. Now you're playing 4-on-3 on the other end, and they pick you apart for wide open threes. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. You know, you tried to take the ball out of DeMar DeRozan's hands, but Kobe White was cooking too at the same time.
Yes.
And so it was too late by then. Maybe, you know, the answer is stop these guys before they get all that confidence, before they start flowing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next drape stake. And this is one I just came up with on the walk over from the hotel over here to the arena. This is not about Monday's game. This is about the last 48 hours. And I know the first two drapes takes, they were kind of negative. But I'm tired of this negativity in this town. And I'm not talking about Los Angeles. Like, we got so many people. And I know it's my fault, Whitey and Jay. I know I shouldn't be on social media after games. I know I shouldn't look at it. But everybody and their mom is a basketball expert right now. Like, Mike Brown isn't trying out there. Like, the players don't care out there. Like, can we just stop with the negativity? Let's let it play out. Because we're living on the roller coaster. Trust me. The post-game show the other night, Whitey, that was my G-rated version. That was my family friend. I thought I was well controlled with my frustration and anger because I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to say one day we're Western Conference Finals contenders and then the other. I saw people out there saying this team ain't even going to make the play-in. What are we talking about? What are we? The Kings are fine. You know, they still have all their goals ahead of them, a top six seed. But, man, they are making it hard. But I'm just tired of the negativity out there, man. It's killing me.
All right. Yeah. I mean,
that's Drape's Day. I'm frustrated, man.
Give me a bonus one. Give me a bonus,
bonus
one.
Bonus.
You want a
bonus.
You want a bonus one?
Bonus.
Here's my bonus. Can we get more Alex Len? I don't think the small ball lineup is working. It is not. Unless Trey starts hitting some shots, that defeats the purpose of going small, right? Like, if we can't make them punish, we can't punish them when we go small, why are we doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And so I need Trey Lyles either to step his game up or I need more Alex Len. I could go on and on. I could go on and on, but I don't know, man. I'm frustrated right now. I'm frustrated at the squad. I'm frustrated at the fans. I'm frustrated at the media. I'm frustrated I lost my iPad.
Yeah.
Like all this, man. It's just a frustrating day,
but you're going to get the iPad back, or you did get it back, right?
Let me tell you this, though. See, this is sometimes it's good to be with the squad.
Okay.
They actually brought it from the airport to the team hotel because I was going to go back. But it was like a 45-minute ride just to get back to the airport. And then and I was tired. I was frustrated. And they're like, Kyle, a guy actually lives in downtown L.A. He could just bring it to you tonight. So they brought it to me tonight.
I thought they'd have like Slauson or somebody out. Hey, go take draperies.
you know what's crazy? All right, let me say this real quick. So remember I said I left my iPad on the plane. We were literally 3 football fields away from the plane when I told them, hey, I left my iPad on the plane. They're like, oh, well. You're just going to have to go back out. But I'm like, no, the plane's like, I can see the plane. Like, just stop. Let me run. No, I bet you if that was De'Aaron Fox that left the iPad on the plane, it would have been a police escort to get back and everything. So I was reminded where I fit on the pecking order of the Kings traveling party. I'm not that high up, fellas.
Well,
not
you're high enough up where they bring it to you. So good for
you. Yes.
Happy ending to that story anyway. When we come back, how things got even wilder in the West last night and what that means for the Kings. Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. That's what we need. Focus and positivity tonight for the Kings and their fans. The crucial showdown coming against the hated Los Angeles Lakers. Kyle Draper's in L.A. Drapes, the Kings got a little bit of a boost last night from Indiana, of all teams. Indiana knocking off the Mavs. So right now, as you well know, we got Pelicans at 5. They won. They've won 2 in a row. They're 37-25. The Suns won in overtime at Denver. So they're in 6th and the Kings 7th. And then Dallas right behind the Kings, a game back. And then a game and a half, as you said, is the Lakers. And then the Warriors right now, 2 games back of the Kings. So this could still go any which way. The one thing of all, you mentioned all the crazy things on Twitter. The one thing that's off the board completely, I think, is the Kings missing the play-in,
right?
I mean, that's just not going
to
happen.
It would have to be. I mean, there's 7 games ahead of the Utah Jazz.
Jazz don't even want any part of the play-in. Yeah,
Jazz are tanking. Rockets have fallen apart. And so they'll be in the play-in. But like we talked about, if it started right now, you'd have to play 1 game against Luka. If you lose that, then you either got to play LeBron or Steph.
Yeah.
Why would you want to put yourself in that position?
You don't.
You don't if you're Sacramento. And how about Phoenix? They almost gave that game away.
Mm-hmm.
Denver stormed back, took the lead. I thought, yes. Then the Slim Reaper himself took over in overtime, Kevin Durant. And so the problem with the Kings, too, and where they stand, Whitey, is the Pelicans seem to be legit. Like, they aren't going anywhere. I thought they'd fall off. I thought somebody would get hurt because they battled injuries over recent years. But they just quietly go about their business, and they're 7-3 over their last 10. They've won 2 in a row. And now you're a full 2 games behind them. And because they have the tiebreaker, you're really 3 games. So that 5 spot is almost out of the question now for Sacramento.
Yeah, the reason I doubt the Pels will crumble, anything can happen. We know this year in the NBA especially. But they're 19-13 on the road, which is rock solid. And they're a really good defensive team. Yeah. So I'm a believer in what they're doing. We'll see. But the rest of it, I mean, who knows? I know we talked about the Suns' schedule on Monday. Right now the Suns 6th, but it would take near miracle for them to stay there as difficult as their schedule is.
Yeah, and Booker is still out.
Right.
Not healthy. And so maybe it's a race, but they beat Denver yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Like, so let's not, you know. And I believe do we have one more against Phoenix or no? I think we do.
Yeah, I think it's right at the end.
Right like at the very end.
The next to last game of the year or something like that.
And who knows? That could be the battle for 6.
Uh-huh.
And so I think Phoenix, even though their schedule is tough, I think they're talented enough to overcome it. Like, Kevin Durant can will you to a win, you know. Bradley Beal is still a very good player, and they won at Denver last night, if I'm correct.
That's a
major win for them.
Yeah. What do you think of the recent criticism of Durant as Charles Barkley coming out saying, hey, you know, he's not a leader. And he's before said he's a bus rider, not a bus driver, but he doubled down on that this week. What do you think of that notion that KD is a really good player, but he's not the guy that can lead a team into the promised land, so to speak?
I'm not buying that. I look back at that series he had against Milwaukee when Kyrie and James Harden were out.
Like, toe on the line or
toe
else they
on
advance.
The line.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So he almost did it. It's not like, you know, oh, they're just a good regular. Like, Kevin Durant is a different leader than, let's say, and I'll say this too. Did we have Stacey King on, was it last week, where he said
Monday.
Your leader doesn't have to always be your best player?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And so it doesn't have to be Kevin Durant. Like, Kevin Durant, to me, leads by example. Kevin Durant, did you see the stat where, you know, consecutive season of 25 or more points per game when you shoot 50-plus? Like, he every single year, he is the model of consistency.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, and I've always maintained, and I think you agree, without Kevin Durant, the Warriors don't win.
Oh yeah,
all the titles that they won. You know, maybe Steph only has two right now. Maybe has three instead of the four. And so I'm not buying that Kevin Durant is not a leader.
Yeah, that Warrior team, and we're not Warrior fans around here, but that Warrior team was one of the best teams we've seen. And Durant, without question, was the best player on that team.
On that team,
yeah,
right.
Not even really that close, if you ask me. Yeah,
yeah, I agree. And so, no, I think he's a fantastic player. It's interesting, though, when you talk about Phoenix. I was down there for the game, the last couple of games, and I noticed, as great as Kevin Durant is, it's Devin Booker's team. It's Devin Booker's city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the crowd reacts to Devin Booker way more than they react to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant run on the floor, you know, Kevin, yeah. Kevin. Durant, I mean, a Booker runs onto the floor, and it's just, it's like, that is his city.
Right.
That is his team. Yeah.
Yeah. He's their own. And it's like what KD had in Oklahoma City, and he ran into some of that same dynamic when he was with the Warriors, because it's like, Steph and Clay, they're our guys, and KD, yay, but you're not our guy.
You're not our guy.
He chose that. Basically, Kevin Durant chose that.
Yes, 100%. But, man, he's a phenomenal player. He's phenomenal.
Now, the Dallas Mavericks, just right behind the Kings right now, game back, they've lost three in a row. You mentioned earlier that Brendan was tweeting today about how bad the Kings have been since the break, and I think he said they're 28th in the league in defensive rating since the All-Star break, and I believe 29th is the Dallas Mavericks. Mm. So that team, they're still figuring things out as well here, and they're reeling right now.
Yeah, and I thought they had figured it out. You know, they made the trade and got the good boost, you know, with Gafford and Washington, and I thought, man, this Mavericks team, they're going to be legit, but they've fallen on some hard times as of late, and it goes back to their defense. We know they can score. But they've lost three in a row. And when you look at it, I don't know how much you believe in point differential, Whitey. That's been a knock on the Kings. Like, their point differential is only plus 0.3.
Right.
Like, it's not good. It's, you know, Dallas is just plus 0.4, you know? And so, to me, that indicates sort of an average team, right?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Sort of a middle-of-the-pack team. And that's what both are coming off of. Except when you look at Minnesota, plus 6.8, OKC, plus 7.6. Like, those are teams that are two-way teams. The Kings and the Mavericks, they only play one end of the floor. Their defense, especially as of late, has been non-existent.
Yeah, and as you know, the Kings last year, they basically played only one end of the floor, but they played it so well, they had a really good point differential, as I recall. They were they were really healthy. And this year, see, I can't cherry pick, though. I can't say, it doesn't matter for the Kings, but, look at the Mavericks. They're phonies. So I don't know.
Right. Because basically, we're the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Like, our season has been the Mavericks season, really, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, we're in the same, you know, we made so much fun of them last year, made so much fun of them to start the season. We're right there with them.
Yeah.
You know, I will say, they've lost 5 out of 6, though. They've really fallen on some hard times. You know, they've had a tough schedule. Indiana, Cleveland, Boston, Indiana twice. But, man, they've fallen on some hard times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was looking at something on the Lakers today, and I think it was something related to a Laker podcast, Locked on Lakers or something, and there was some things they had written there. And they described the Kings as a team that has been in a several weeks long mini slump. And I hadn't thought about that before, but I got to admit, when I first read it, I was thinking, yeah, it's kind of vague, but they feel like the Kings feel like they've been in a several weeks long mini slump. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but I guess, Whitey, but then I look at you beat Minnesota.
Yeah.
I look at you beat the Clippers at the Clippers. And so.
Yeah, the win at Denver before the break.
Right. Yeah. You had to win at Denver. Before the break, you know? And so, I don't know. I guess we can call it a slump. You look at the teams that they've lost to. This is the concerning part. Chicago. You're supposed to be a better team than Chicago. Miami. I thought you were better than Miami. You know, Detroit. You know, you lost to Miami twice. Like, the problem with the Kings is they're losing to teams that theoretically they should be better than.
Right, right.
You know, and that's the problem. It's not against the upper echelon guys that you know, we're concerned about. It's about the teams with similar records to you or worse than you. And it's the way you're losing these games. You're giving these games away. Like, now, if somebody came in right from the jump and just boat raced you, okay. But what happened the other night against Chicago? Chicago's not even an elite offensive team. Like, they get down 22, it should be wraps.
Right.
It should be curtains. Mm-hmm. They don't have the firepower to get back into the game. But they did against us.
Yeah, you know, Monday, you and I were pretty excited coming off that Minnesota win.
Yep.
And I found out yesterday, Jay was saying on the air that he almost broke in during that show Monday to tell us, fellas, and, you know, I say this because maybe he's the smartest one. Not maybe, I think that's pretty well known. But he was going to break in, and he said, no, I don't want to do that because they're going to say, oh, you're a hater. But he said, I almost stepped in to warn you guys not to get to, right, Jay?
Yeah.
It's an accurate
because
description.
Drapes jumped on somebody on the YouTube chat, and I can't remember who exactly it was at the time.
It was Folsom.
Folsom Mike.
Folsom
right?
Mike. He was like, be positive. Stop being half glass empty guy. Let's stop all the frustration, all the negativity. Right. And the comment was, the Kings can't sustain winning basketball the way they beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, which I 100% agree with. I thought Malik Monk single-handedly won that game at the end of it. And single-handedly, man, of course the team played and they had to put him in the proper position. But I thought Malik, you know, closed it out. And, I mean, I can't remember off the top of my head now. I have my notes in front of me from yesterday. But he literally shot the ball like the last 15 times.
Yeah, it was all Malik.
Something like that. And so I was like, but, you know, Drapes was on one. And
I know.
We're trying to be positive on the drive, guys. And like Drapes said, we can't continue to talk about the negative and, you know, what's wrong with the team. It's like, no, they got a good win. So I closed my mouth.
Yeah.
So you were worried about Chicago the other day.
I was. Really? And I'll tell you this, Drapes, Whitey, I said this to Whitey yesterday, I'm worried about tomorrow's game.
The Spurs?
Yes, because I think.
Come on, bro.
Okay. All right. This the same thing you said last week, man. Look, real fast, the Spurs, and Whitey, you said this yesterday, the Spurs came in here like no issues.
Right.
They were right on the cusp of coming back again, just like the Bulls did the last time they were here a few weeks ago. I'm just saying, fellas, I think the Kings play fantastic today. I think the Kings are going to get a win today.
Wow.
But
I do.
Worried about tomorrow.
I'm worried about tomorrow.
Dang. I tell you what, though.
It's a travel day.
It's a travel day, but it's only an hour flight, Jay. Come on now. What's the excuse? And we were down here in Clipperland a week and a half ago.
And what happened when you came back?
Right. We lost. But this is the Spurs. Yeah, Alperen Şengün made Victor Wembanyama look like Daryl Dawkins. Like he just owned Wembanyama yesterday. And so I don't want to – nah, Jay, I'm not entertaining that, bro.
I know.
I can't think of that.
To your point, I saw something yesterday. Someone was saying, could Wemby emerge as a defensive player of the year candidate? And after last night, I'm thinking, no, I don't think that's a concern.
Look like Wilt out there against him. Yeah, but if we lose tomorrow, like –
Drapes, don't say nothing. Just let it be. Just let it be. I don't even want to cut your microphone off first.
Let's get to the night first. Then we can talk.
Look, I won't cut you off, but that time I'm gonna cut you off. Don't put yourself in any position.
I'm gonna let you finish. The A's new ballpark renderings. We were gonna talk about that yesterday. We didn't get to it. They're leaving a lot of fans wondering. Hey, what is that? One architect is calling it a spherical armadillo. So we'll try to figure out what that means when we come right back. Drive, guys. Interesting times, obviously, to be a Kings fan. On the one hand, the Kings are once again competing for a spot in the playoffs, which, as we know, unfortunately, hasn't been overly common. On the other hand, the Kings fighting and clawing to get back to where they were last year. So we got a lot of mixed emotions here. We're excited, but we're frustrated. And that's leading to a lot of criticism, especially after a game like the Kings suffered against the Bulls. Drapes is in L.A. getting ready, of course, for the Lakers and the Kings. I mention all this because we were talking about Folsom Mike and all the he was critical and you kind of shot back at him. We have Compio here on the YouTube chat says, Folsom Mike hasn't been back. Lost a listener. But right here on the text line today, Folsom Mike weighing in. He says, the problem is we build our team on the Golden State three-point run-and-gun model. That's not working now that the league went big and long. But that's who we are. So start Monk, tighten rotations, and run. That's Folsom Mike. What do you think, Drapes?
Folsom Mike. He's doubling down on being wrong. Like, what is this guy? Poor guy came back for more punishment. I get it. It sounds nice. Start Monk. Let's run and gun. I could argue our defense would be even worse than what it is right now. And
that's a great point. That's why we touched on that yesterday, and people don't realize that. Malik's phenomenal, and they need him, but he's just not a great defender.
That would be maybe the smallest starting backcourt in the NBA, too. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, Kevin Huerter is 6'7".
Right.
Kevin Huerter is a pretty big, you know, shooting guard in the NBA. And I know, you know, his defense is where some people would want, but you need some size. Our problem isn't the starting five, or our problem is we need more. And I've said this time and time again, Whitey, just if you're listening right now, driving, you're at work, please write this down. We need more size and athleticism and length on the perimeter. Who's our guy with a 7-foot wingspan? Who's our guy 6'6" with a 7-foot wingspan? We don't have anybody like that.
Mm-hmm.
You look at all the contenders, they got guys, they shrink the floor with their defense. We can't shrink the floor with our defense because we don't have positional size out there. Mm-hmm. Outside of Keegan Murray, even Domas at the center spot, isn't, you know, his wingspan isn't that long, you know? And so it is what it is. And I think if you're Monty McNair, this is a process. Obviously, the Kings are not a finished product right now. And we ran what Sham said last week, and we've been saying it. This offseason is critical for Sacramento. We can't just be running it back. Kings fans ain't going to stand for that.
Mm-hmm. The whole notion of the Kings being a run-and-gun team, that's basically what the NBA is. And it's I think that does a disservice to it. You know, there are reasons why. It's not just, just run down there and shoot it. You know, that's not what it is. There's reasons why teams play this way now, and they're seeking the most efficient shots. The problem is what happens to the Kings when they're not able to run and gun, when they get bogged down like what happened down the stretch against the Bulls. That's when sometimes they seem to be at odds with things. Drapes, this was fascinating to me that you had Trey Lyles pass up a shot or two, you know, late in that game, a wide open three. Afterwards, Mike Brown said, you know, we can't do that. We got to let it fly. We never want to pass up a three.
Right.
But Trey Lyles was 1-for-6. So, you know, Trey Lyles sitting there going, I'm not shooting well. So that's, I don't know what the answer is, but that's a difficult conundrum.
That is. Or if you're Trey Lyles, should you think, man, I'm 1-for-6. One is bound to go in.
I guess
you talk to any NBA coach, they will say this, and I've talked to Brad Stevens about this thousands of times when I was in Boston. It's not about the result, whether the ball went in or not. It's, did you get the shots you wanted? And so if Trey Lyles is open, to Mike Brown's point, let it fly. That's what the offense is predicated on.
Right.
Like, that's what open threes. That's what every NBA team is looking to get nowadays. Layups or open threes. And so you live with the result. And you could say, well, he's 1-for-6. But it's not about just that game. What about the hours and hours he put in practicing? What about historically his three-point? Like, that's what you're trying to get, is open looks for your guys. And as a player, aren't you taught to have a short memory, Whitey?
Yeah, but don't you think, Drapes, that there are times, especially when a lead is evaporating and the shot's not going in, where you got to have something else you can go to? And, all right, we're just going to keep shooting threes that don't go in, Well, wait, there has to be something else that you can run, doesn't there? I mean, something else when you need to, that just another wrinkle you can add. So, okay, you know, look, you consider a score and clock here, and, all right, if we run some things, maybe we're better off doing that than just continuing to shoot threes. That, I don't know the answer, but that's the question to me.
Well, I think there's two ways I can go with this. I'm going to go with this way. That's when you turn to your star player and you say, get me a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
We need a bucket. You look at every team, contending team in the NBA, and I'm going to go down the list. I got the standings right here. Minnesota. Offense bogs down. Give it to Anthony Edwards. Get out the way. OKC, Shai Gilgeous. Denver, Jokic. Clippers, Kawhi, Paul George. Pelicans, Ingram. Phoenix, we know what they have. And so this is, I think, the growth for De'Aaron Fox. When things are going to crap and the shots aren't falling, I need fourth quarter Fox in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Or I need fourth quarter Fox to take over. And so, and I know it was his first game back after missing the couple. You know, maybe he wasn't 100% out there. But that's what the star players do. The star players give the game what it needs. So if I'm watching the Celtics and they're missing threes, and I know they lost that, but trust me, Jason Tatum is putting his head down and he's going to get you a bucket. Jaylen Brown the same way. That's where I think the growth of the Kings can come. De'Aaron Fox sort of taking over, sensing when it's needed to take over. He's done a fantastic job. We've seen him do that. But he can't be the only one. And I think when you look at our roster and as you try to improve it, and this is why months ago I said we should go out there and get Zach LaVine. Well, Zach's obviously hurt right now. But at least Zach LaVine is a guy that shot clock winding down, late in games, offense bogging down, get a ball to Zach, get out the way. He can get you a bucket. The game we won in Minnesota, to Jay's point, it wasn't the offense that was flowing. It was give it to Malik and get out the way. We need more guys like that.
Every time we're going to talk about the A's rendering, something the Kings comes up. I know. We'll get back to the phones, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. To the point you just made, Kyle, I'll tell you the one thing that just crushed my soul from the loss to the Bulls. And we'll see if we can't look at those incredible ballpark renderings when we come right back. It's The Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.